Southeast and freight moving and project oriented stuff. So I think I might have emailed that information on to Trey that I may be able to share, and it might help Sumitomo and some of the stuff they're doing. So
appreciate that.
Putting that out there.
Appreciate that. Yeah, there's we've got reach out from some local divers as well. And, you know, obviously this is a team pool on this one. This is going to be a big project. And so as they, there's some things that are not defined yet and they're working those out, mainly heavy equipment, diving, stuff like that. They've got divers and identified, but there's still some unique challenges to the dive. And especially with regard to putting what's called split pipe, which is the protective covering of the submarine cable. We specified that it be covered with cast iron from the shore to 60 feet water depth, such that boats and debris and other things can't damage the cable all the way up into the shore landing to where it gets buried.
Yeah, so, we did that on telecommunication cable too.
Yeah. It's definitely an important aspect of it, but it is a challenge. We don't want the installation ship to be on site during the diving expedition to install the split pipe, because ITB is super expensive per day.
Thank you.
And then as far as Jeremy, absolutely my intent on that conversation about factory acceptance testing remotely was that we are just testing to make sure that if the event that another round of COVID comes up, we still have an alternative to doing a FAT.
Yes, thank you for that, and appreciate the diligence to get ahead of it.
Final project that I got, I mean, I got a lot of other projects, and so I'll kind of move along here quickly. The Artax Gata project, we've got to get rid of that Orion out at Swan Lake. I'd hate to have some kind of a vulnerable cyber attack, because we took too long to replace a device that is one of SEPA's biggest risks. So at this point, we've come to a point where SEPA has connected and is ready to go for all our sites, Petersburg, Wrangell, Swan, and Tai, and even as of now, Swan Lake is online and available for points to be delivered to KPU from the Ketchikan office here on a secure network. We're just, KPU has got some coordinating to do on their end. And so we're just waiting and trying to get that finished. I was hoping to have it done by early March, but we're working through those issues. Dust collectors, those are been installed at the site with exception to the actual dust brush rigging themselves. We haven't been able to get the contractor up here, partly because of Canadian law and partly because, you know, COVID and our internal. But looking like we might be able to get this project completed, which is just the final commissioning of the design. So that should be done, I would say, probably second quarter of 2021. That's all I got. Any questions?
No, I think I'm good. Does anybody on the board have a question about the presentation from Robert?
Always impressive.
Yeah, always. Lots going on.
Really great, if I could add, Mr. Chair, really great news on the cable manufacturing as someone who sat on those negotiating calls. We spent a lot of time worrying about the seam and where it would fall and all the engineering involved in that. And Sumitomo was doing backflips for us to convince us that it was okay. And now we don't need to worry about it. It's just one less thing to worry about in terms of maintenance long-term. And so great, that just worked out great, Robert.
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest news.
Thank you, Robert. So that brings us on to the operation manager report. Clay.
Thank you, Bob. I guess I don't really have a whole lot to add to the narrative I've already provided on most of these projects and so forth. I do have a little bit of an update on some input I got on our cable crossing at the south end of Wrangell Island, where the lines cross under the Bradfield there. So anyway, maybe if we can just kind of scroll through these really slowly, and then if anybody has any questions, I can go ahead and address them, and then I'll give you what I got on the Bradfield crossing there.
Sounds good. What section am I looking at here?
All right, you're looking at the vegetation management plan right now, and the left-hand picture that you see there, that's the Vank Island strip that we're going to get after this year. You can see extensive alder growth coming up underneath there. This was probably last cut in about 1997, 1998, in preparation for when we did the upgrade to that transmission line, installation of those V towers and stuff like you see there. And then on the right hand side, you're looking at the Revilla Island. This is just right across from Carolyn Lent and the Swan Lake plant there. And just makes a bend after it crests up over the hill. And we're looking at addressing all that vegetation that you see there. This particular contract is going to be in four different sections this year, getting after some of the areas of high growth that have been sort of creeping up on us over the years.
So is that one of the new helipads? Or old one?
I'm not sure when these were installed. These were prior to my on board here, and certainly prior to the pads that we installed along the STI.
Okay.
Probably not more than 10 or 15 years old, though. And this is the PRV project that we have going on, pressure reducing valves, where we pull that 600 PSI plus water off of the penstock in that next frame down there. And then we step that down to a much more manageable level. We use that for the cooling water in the plant, as well as plant and camp potable water supply. And these are all original to the project. And unfortunately, they're not supported by the industry anymore. And the new ones have been ordered, and we should have those at the end of next month. And I think a lot of you are probably familiar with the Cleveland Helipad project, and the frame on the right-hand side is a pretty good example of why we need to get after some of these and get these changed out. Fortunately, the ones that we'll be going to will in all likelihood be the aluminum frame. That's what we have in stock currently, with a fiberglass decking, much better at surviving the elements and standing the test of time, I think. We won't have the the corrosion or the rotting issues that we have with these old wood pads here. As you can see in come up just one frame there, the bears seem to like these things too. That one there is not actually that bad compared to some other ones that I've seen in there. For whatever reason, they seem attracted to the creosote in these things, or whatever it is we're using for treatment, and they like to get in there and just chew the heck out of them. So not only did the pads have to put up with snow and the rest of that, but bear attacks as well. So, any questions on the trail that we found?
No.
Okay. Calm challenges. I think that one's pretty self-evident there. Okay. So anyway, reference to what I noted earlier there, had a call from a local dive contractor based out of Ketchikan here, and he'd been touching bases with one of his associates that does a little bit of cucumber diving, and was involved in a commercial fishery down in the south end of Wrangell, and he just happened to be diving off of Cleveland Peninsula there in fairly close proximity to where our cable landing is there on Cleveland. And he said he noted while he was there that when he got down, he got comparatively close to the cables and saw what he thought was possible damage to one of our cables. And anyway, I share this just in the name of keeping everybody up to date so that rumors don't get started that we're having a major issue down there. I was able to touch bases with this gentleman, talk to him directly. And fortunately, they're able to share with him some of the pictures that we had when we did our ROV survey with ITB. And there's an outer covering on these cables called the serving, and it's just a kind of a yarn that protects the armor. And that serving is fairly easily damaged. A lot of times it's just when it was installed. And we have some pretty good documentation of different places where that's happened along the line. And I was able to share with him a photograph of an area at the Cleveland Landing there where we had documented that type of damage before. And I was able to share that picture with him, and he was able to take a good look at it and verify the fact that, yeah, that was indeed what he saw was serving damage and not actual damage to the armor itself, which is pretty important information. And this gentleman evidently has got some experience with cable diving. He helped with diversified diving, and they did the GCI's cable placement at the ends of Wrangell and Mitkoff Island. So this is an experienced cable diver. And anyway, one of the things that stands out different between serving damage and possible armor is that serving is being a kind of a yarn. It'll sort of wave in the current like a seaweed. And whereas armor is a lot different animal, and it doesn't move at all. And anyway, he was able to look at the pictures, take a good hard look at it, and verify that that was what he was seeing. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with the group.
Thank you, Clay.
You bet. Any further questions?
Well, anybody have any further questions for Clay at this time in regards to his report? So one of the things that you didn't mention, Clay, is do you know what our snowpack looks like right now in regards to feet and density?
You know, we haven't gone up there and done our surveys yet, but I'm going to defer to Mr. Seedman and his snow pillows on that one. Those are working very well as far as I know, and I think that's been one of those success projects, and I'm going to go ahead and let him take that one.
Yeah, it's we haven't done the snow. We typically do our snow report in April because that's when it matters. But the snow pillows give us an idea throughout the snow season, the as we're approaching the turn, on what it's going to look like next year. We're looking really good. I think I haven't ran the numbers on it and to compare it year over year, but I'd say we are above average, and I would venture to bet probably a beer on it. So we're looking pretty good.
That's excellent. I know that through the pre-drought season we had half of our snowpack when we went into that, and so it put us in peril as we wait for water to come off in the turn and all that kind of stuff. So it's nice to know that we're at least back to normal, if not a little better than normal this year in regards to where we're at this time of year. And I know those snow pillows were out there, and I'm just interested in what kind of data you were getting from them. So anybody else have anything in regards to the staff reports that we've heard? All right, seeing none, we'll conclude that and move on to our next item, which is our next meeting dates. Trey, you did mention at some point we're going to have a special meeting in regards to bonds and financing. Is that right?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. I haven't dialed in a time yet. It is somewhat dependent on when I get some additional information. So okay. I'm going to have to chase that around over the next couple of weeks and then put materials together and such to circle back to the board. But I would say if I had to guess, end of March, early April. And, you know, and I'll have Sharon, review what all the different schedules are for everybody's assembly meetings and council meetings and all the other meetings that we've got to navigate around, and we'll propose a date or two and see if we can pull that together.
Thank you. So our next meeting date looks like it's May 13th and 14th. Where is that if we were in the round of scheduling and going to meet in person, where would that one be at?
Wrangell. Okay. Mr. Sheriff, if you look under comments, if it's an in-person meeting, then the venue will be Wrangell.
All right.
13th and 14th. But if it is remote, then it's only on May 13th from 9 to 5.
Perfect. Thank you. So that any questions about the meeting, next meeting date? So with that, we do have a number of board members or directors. So let's go through those for comments. So Carl, are you still on, Amelon?
I am, Bob. Good meeting. And I just want to thank Trey for some help he gave to Mr. Donato and I about discussions that we were having about interconnection with Metlakatla, and Trey's insight provided some very useful information. So thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Cliff, you have anything for us?
I apologize for bopping and hucking, but being on the street here on Tongass, people see your car and they assume you're not doing anything better with your time. So they want to drop in and chat. Normally it's engineers and project managers and future work. So it's like up and down, back and forth, getting people the high side. But no, I read the packet. I was thoroughly impressed with what's happening right now. Robert always baffles me with everything he goes through, which is fabulous because I just want to be on the receiving end of that. It was another great meeting, and I'm just really impressed with how well staff's prepared us and how we're prepared and how well our system performs. So it just makes my job here that much easier. Thank you.
Thank you, Cliff. Steve, what do you have for us?
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, just a great meeting again. I'm really excited to see non-municipal people joining our board. I think that's really important. And I think having folks carrying the message out that into the communities that are not sort of viewed as being part of the establishment, I think is really good. So I'm very pleased to see folks from outside of the municipalities. I'm going to just say what I say practically every time. I'm always amazed at how much gets accomplished by such a small footprint of staff. This team that Trey oversees and directs just knocks it out of the park. And I really appreciate all the legwork that everybody puts into these packets and then walking us through. And I'll also give Robert a call. He's one of these smart people that is able to take incredibly complex ideas and boil it down so a dummy like me can feel like they maybe understand it. So I really appreciate that. So thank you very much to everybody.
Thank you, Steve. Bob Lynn.
Yeah. Again, thanks to staff for all the looking ahead that you're doing. It really shows up in the documents that you present us. And also the, as you know, here in Petersburg, we're very concerned and interested in that submarine cable. And I thank you folks for such a diligent effort that you keep at with that thing. I am plumb amazed with the amount of that has been accomplished on that. And I guess the last thing I have to say is that I still think we want to be real careful on the COVID side because we certainly don't need any downtime, as everybody knows. So just a note to be cautious. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Doug. Are you on, Doug?
Hit your mute button, Doug.
How's that I'm coming across?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Good. So first meeting, really informative, lots of information. And all I can say is I'm looking forward to getting to know more about the system and how it works, and appreciate all of the wisdom and knowledge that exists on the board and in the staff, and looking forward to future meetings. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug. Jeremy.
Congratulations on being the new chair, Bob. Also, thank Mr. Lynn for his dedicated efforts this past year as the chair through this difficult time of COVID. Wanted to welcome the new board members. Look forward to working with you guys always enjoy this opportunity to get together as a group and hear all the great ideas and the good news about how the organization's moving forward in a positive direction. I also look forward to an opportunity in the future for us to have in-person meetings. And I know that obviously that probably isn't anytime soon, but hopefully maybe by the end of the year we'll get there. And then finally, I'll have some questions for Carl and Bob, or you, Bob, the chair, with regard to some of the procedural things. Maybe we'll save that for the next meeting.
Sure, sounds good.
And thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Dick.
Yeah, the board continues to do a really great job, Trey, with the staff. I mean, I don't think anything... You got a lot of challenges, and the double challenges from last year, what happened. But from my time being on and off the board, we just got to keep up the good work, keep working for the people that we're serving, and hang in there because it's going to change.
Thank you. Mike.
Oh, boy. Well, thanks for having me aboard here. Steve kind of wrangled me into this thing, and I'm quite happy to be on here. I've heard a lot of stuff I didn't know and got a lot to learn, but I'm happy to be here, and there's a lot of smart people on here. Thank you.
And Carl.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I just want to echo Bob Lynn's comments about our interest in the marine cable. Really, really good news today about that joint not being an issue anymore. And the progress been made on that project since it started is fantastic. So just a big thanks to Robert for his work, and to Trey for, again, putting together a really good packet, lots of information, and really appreciate all the work that goes into that. So we've had in Petersburg, good thing we're not talking about a meeting in Petersburg. Since this meeting started, we've had 5 more cases pop up here. So we're still in the middle of our outbreak. And hopefully we'll be over that real soon. But everybody take care and be safe.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for the trust, I guess, in electing me as your chairperson, and I'd like to thank everybody else that stepped up, Steve and Carl, for taking those offices. As always, staff, you've done a great job, but it takes the board to look at these things objectively, have open discussions, and understand them as we move forward, because some of this stuff is very technical and quite frankly out of our normal preview of what we normally do in a daily operation. So it takes some while to get us up to speed and working on that. In regard to the calendar, Trey, are you going to have to put a meeting in July for the approval of the budget?
No, we'll take that care of that. We shifted it to the end of the calendar year, being December.
Okay, so we will be doing that. That's right. Okay, so we'll be doing it in December. Just going. And then, of course, we're all interconnected communities. And as we've had discussions, it was nice to visit outside the meeting about the COVID impacts. And I wish you guys well in Wrangell and Petersburg as you deal with those issues. I think that this shared information on any of these platforms in regards to what's going on in other communities and how we can learn from each other and help each other is a benefit to this interconnection. I think we're closer that way. It sounds like there's a lot of work to be done yet. And I would encourage the new board members, if you have any questions, staff has always been available, open door policy, give them a call, talk to them about it. If you hear a rumor, if you hear of an existing issue that may be coming up or a problem, just give them a heads up, and they will work to resolve that or answer that or whatever they may be able to do to deal with it. So I've always found that if I call, even if they don't have the answer, they'll tell me, they'll get back to me, and they do that. So again, we're all connected. We had some conversations at the last city council meeting. A lot of it was misunderstanding. But I think that as we talked earlier, there's a need to get information back out to some of these new council and assembly members and to the public. They soon forget that we are interconnected. SEPA has taken the risk from the individual communities in regards to this submarine cable. If we didn't have that shared responsibility, I don't think that Petersburg would have been in any shape to do a $13 million project such as this. And so I think that, and then when we talked about the water over wire issue to keep Swan from spilling and the bank water, it makes so much sense in regards to not wasting that resource as we manage the lake levels and the power to the individual community. So what's good for SEPA is usually good for our communities, but I think that we need to, come out and inform the public about what we're doing, why we're doing it, and who we are. So with that, I don't have anything else. And so I'd entertain a motion for adjournment.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
There's been a motion adjourned. Is there anybody opposed? Hearing none, the chairman would say so adjourned. Thank you, guys.